The world cannot offer peace. The world cries out, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's no solution for our sin in this world. We can look at religion. Surely there is an answer in religion to our sin and to our iniquity. And we look at religion and we find that in the religions formed by man, there is no salvation. We come to the Word of God. We come to Hebrews 7 and we see God's way and God's plan of salvation. For verse 25 says about the Savior, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we consider the truth of God together. And we are going to turn to Hebrews 7 today, the book of Hebrews that outlines to us our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews tells us in verse 23 of chapter 7, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Who needeth not daily as those priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated for evermore. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. We rejoice as believers that we have a great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for us. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider the message, our great high priest. And may the Lord richly bless his word to your soul today. One of the great issues, the great question that we ought to ask in life, a question which many fail to consider, which many fail to ask, which many have no intention of asking, is simply this: what do we do with our sin? What do we do with our sin? When we think of the sin that we have, when we think of what God's Word says concerning sin, how do we deal with that sin? How do we rise above that sin? How do we know the forgiveness of that sin? How do we avoid the consequences, the eternal consequences of that sin? Many today will turn round and deny sin. And they will turn round and, while they may speak about the reality of sin, they will bring sin down, they will make it less serious. And sin can often be reclassified as human dysfunction. It is something that is within us. It is maybe a mistake. It is something that we do that is not really stemming from the original sin within our hearts. It's not stemming from the fall. It's not something so serious. The Bible makes a mountain out of a molehill, they would say. Sin is really mistakes or dysfunction within society, and therefore
Sin is not the transgression of a moral law. It really comes down to bad choices that individuals make instead of good choices. We can also blame our external forces around us. It was our childhood. It was the circumstances in which we grew up. It was the environment in which we live or work. And all of that pressure and all of that influence has caused these wicked things to take place within our lives. We should remember as well, however, that our circumstances, our childhood, the pressure, the influence that is upon us, it does not contribute to our sin in the sense that it is the cause. It is the heart that is sinful. It is something that passes down through Adam's race. But the influence of society upon us is something that we need to discern and we need to be careful about. If we open up the door of our hearts to society and to all that goes on in society, the wickedness and the corruption, then there is a problem with us. There is much evil in society, and we must discern and guard against it. But many blame sin on external forces. But when we consider what sin is, and we consider that it is that which originated with Adam's sin, it's passed down upon humanity, it is the greatest disease that mankind has ever and will ever face. It is a disease with temporal consequences and spiritual consequences and eternal consequences. And therefore, it is a serious thing. There is no deliverance. There is no salvation. There is no forgiveness of sin in and of ourselves as humans. And this is the backdrop against which we come to Hebrews chapter 7. We think of the salvation that the world has to offer. They cry out peace. They cry out enjoyment. They cry out satisfaction. But we're reminded that the pleasures of sin last but for a season. We're reminded that what God has, we're reminded that what the world offers regarding peace, regarding satisfaction, regarding a spiritual peace and calm is not such a thing. It does not exist. It does not exist. The world cannot offer peace. The world cries out, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's no solution for our sin in this world. We can look at religion. Surely there is an answer in religion to our sin and to our iniquity. And we look at religion and we find that in the religions formed by man, there is no salvation. We come to the Word of God. We come to Hebrews 7 and we see God's way and God's plan of salvation. For verse 25 says about the Savior, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. There is salvation through Christ. There is redemption through the Son of God. And why is that? Because he is our priest. He is the one who goes between God and between us. He is our mediator. He has a priesthood that is permanent. A priesthood that stems from his endless life. Verse 16. When we think of the Jewish system of religion, the focal point of that religion was the high priest. The high priest went in to represent the people. The high priest went in to make sacrifice for their sin. He came between God and the people, and the Jews who converted to Christianity were accused of having no high priest, no one to stand between them and God. And the Jews looked down upon the Christians because there was no high priest. There was no one to mediate for them, to represent them. They had rejected the Jewish system, and therefore they rejected this important concept of the mediator, the high priest. And the epistle to Hebrews, believed to have been penned by Paul himself anonymously, deals with that very issue. Christians do have a high priest, a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jewish system of sacrifice and priesthood was a type of Christ. If you go through the Old Testament, you will find types of Christ. The ark in Noah's day was a type of Christ. Joseph was a type of Christ. The tabernacle, that system of worship associated with the tabernacle, was a type of Christ, pointing to his death. The sacrifices in the Old Testament tabernacle and then the temple were sacrifices that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the type of Christ. And the Savior himself being the anti-type, the one who fulfilled the type, the one who, as it were, is greater than the type, because he is what the type pointed toward. And so we have in the Old Testament continually these pictures pointing to the one who is our priest. C.H. Spurgeon said that the Apostle Paul is very much at home with this theme when he is extolling his master. When handling the Jewish types and figures with which he was so familiar, he was charmed to point out how superior Christ is to any of the priests of the Old Testament. We can think today of religion. We can think of the Roman Catholic system and how they lift up a priest, how they lift up a pope, how they lift up bishops who and cardinals who stand between the people and God, who are the representatives of Christ, so they say. But yet our great high priest is not a mere man. He is not someone appointed by the church. He is not a man who is sinful. That was the type. The high priest was not a perfect sinless man, but he pointed to the one who would be that sinless lamb. His sacrifices pointed to the one who would be the great sacrifice for sin. And so we find that there are those in the world today who point to mediators of mere man, who point to priests and intercessors to come between them and God. And Scripture tells us in the New Testament of no such thing. The priest was the type that pointed to Christ. Christ fulfilled these things. And therefore our great high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight for salvation, all that you need, the only person you need, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because we see in verse 25, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He is the only one who can save to the uttermost. We could change that text a little bit and say that Christ is the only one who is able to save to the uttermost. He is the only Savior. We're not changing the verse of Scripture. Technically, we're just reading into it the great exclusive salvation offered by our exclusive Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. And Scripture in many other places reminds us of that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Peter and John here are pointing out, Peter is preaching, he says, there is no salvation in any other person. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. And who is he pointing to? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's setting out the great high priest, the only redeemer, the only Savior. And tonight when we think of our sin and we think of our iniquity, our sin is serious in the sight of God. Do you have a Savior? Do you have a Redeemer? Do you have a great high priest who comes between you and God? Who mediates for you? Who is your sacrifice? Who is your Savior? Are you resting upon him? Why do we need such a priest? Because we cannot mediate ourselves. We cannot cleanse our own sin. We cannot save ourselves. Ephesians 2 reminds us of that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And there it is. If we were to turn to it in black and white, We cannot save ourselves. Why? We can only do works for salvation. Our works. And our works, if we include our words in that and we include all our actions, they are not good enough. They fall short. We needed the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. And that is our theme this evening, coming to consider our great high priest. Our great high priest. And firstly, I want you to see that we have a unique high priest. We have a unique high priest. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." The man Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." When we think of those verses, they remind us of what Christ has done, of the blood of Christ, of Christ coming between us. There is one God, and therefore there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died for the sins of His people, He is the one who is our high priest. The Westminster Confession of Faith is our standard of faith as a denomination. It summarizes the truth of Scripture. It systematizes it for us. And it is a concise statement of what the Bible teaches. And it is a thrilling account. If I could refer to it as that, a thrilling account of what God has done, of the doctrines of grace, of the doctrines found in the Scriptures. The Westminster Assembly was perhaps one of the greatest councils put together of men who loved the Lord, men who had great intellect and great ability and great spirituality. There was a set of books some time ago. They were sold on Amazon in the United Kingdom, and they started about probably the equivalent of maybe $1,000 or more. And I noticed online there was one set on Amazon. They started coming down a little bit. It was the minutes and papers of the Westminster Assembly. And so you could look at all the discussions they had. And I have a couple of books that have some of those discussions and men's thoughts about the various interactions, because these men did not always agree on doctrine. You didn't have all Presbyterians there. There were some Congregationalists, and there were others as well. And there were debates and disagreements. If I mentioned maybe some doctrines this evening, we might have a different view. We would have a debate about it, a discussion. Somebody takes the minutes. In 30, 40 years, it might be interesting to look back at everything we said. And this is what these things were. These books were the minutes that had been produced. And I noticed on Amazon there was one set, and it was going down in price. Amazon wanted rid of it. It wasn't selling. And it dropped by about 50%, more than 50%. And I was waiting for it to come under a certain price, and then I was going to pounce. But I made the mistake. I told one of my friends about it, and he wasn't in Bible college. He had a full-time job. He had enough money in the bank. And when I went on, I saw that it was gone. And I was disappointed. I couldn't believe someone else was keeping track of it, and I told him. And then he admitted what he had done. And so he did let me look at them a couple of times. But if I see a good deal and I'm keeping an eye on it, I will keep those things to myself. I learned that lesson. But a thrilling account of all the debates and everything that took place in those days. And this is a summary that these men brought together of the truth of God. And it speaks about Christ. I think we considered some of this last week. The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shorter Catechism says, who being the eternal Son of God became man, and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. They asked the question of Christ, how doth Christ execute the office of a priest, being our Redeemer? He's a prophet, priest, and king. And the answer is given in the Shorter Catechism, Christ executeth the office of a priest. This is how He is our priest. This is how He is our great high priest. Firstly, in his once offering up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. Secondly, to reconcile us to God. And thirdly, in making continual intercession for us. And then we see there the unique role of our Savior. He is a unique high priest, for he did not offer up a sacrifice of a lamb or a calf. He offered up the sacrifice of himself to satisfy divine justice. And that's exactly what you and I could not do. We could not satisfy divine justice because we were sinners. To satisfy divine justice, it would be for us to face the wrath of God for all eternity for our sin. But Christ, the perfect Son of God, offered himself up as a sacrifice. He reconciles us to God as our mediator, coming between God and us. Sins have separated us and God, but Christ brings us together. And he makes continual intercession for us. We see that intercession in verse 25 of Hebrews 7. He is our priest. He's the one who stands between God and us. And why is he a unique high priest? It's because of his endless life. We see that in verse 16. Who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not one who, when he reached a certain age, stepped down as our high priest. He was not one who died and continues under the power of death. Aaron, the high priest, died and was buried and continued under the power of death. But Christ rose again. He conquered death. His priesthood is endless. His priesthood is for eternity. His priesthood is not something that came to an end because of his endless life. And we rejoice in that as the people of God. We rejoice in the resurrection of Christ, for it is his resurrection that encourages us and reminds us and thrills our hearts when we think of our own resurrection. Because Christ rose again, there is power in the gospel. Because Christ rose again, we will not face immortality or mortality. Because Christ rose again, we will not face the pangs of death and corruption. Because Christ rose again, we will not see God's wrath in hell, but we will be with him for all eternity. All because of the endless life of the Son of God. And we rejoice in his death, but we rejoice in the fact that he rose again from the dead. And his priesthood then is endless. He is ordained into a priesthood that is unchangeable. Verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. He makes intercession for us. And dear believer, as we come to God and as we pray to God, we come through the intercession of Christ. He is our priest, and we can depend upon him. Why? Because he continueth forever and hath an unchangeable priesthood. We all know what happens when we get old. One day we will have to leave our employment. One day we'll have to move on. One day we will die. But thinking of the inability that comes with age, the inability to do the things we used to do. You might be 40, 50 years of age and you know what I'm talking about. You might be a little bit older and you know far well from experience what I'm talking about. But there are things some of us did 20 years ago, 10 years ago, we can't do it now. Life changes. And we understand life. We grow old. The bones get sore. The bones ache. The bones break. The muscles tire and wear away. And maybe we could once be so energetic, and now we cannot be the same. Simple things may tire us, but years ago they did not. But when we think of our Savior, he is different. He is unique. He continueth forever. He doesn't get old. He doesn't get weary. His priesthood is a continual priesthood, and it is unchangeable, and He makes intercession for us. And so as we come to pray and come and seek the Lord and make intercession, and as we desire the help of our Savior, we can rest assured that He's there, that He will not turn us away, that He is not weary. If you phone the pastor up, there might be occasions where he's weary or he's tired. If you phone me up at 12 o'clock at night, there may not be an answer because tiredness gets the better of us. But with our Savior, there is that continual intercession for us. And that's a concept as humans. We don't have one with another. There will be tiredness. I remember whenever I first met my wife for that period before I moved to Canada, there was a time difference. And so when it was late at night in the United Kingdom, it was maybe early, late evening in Canada. And as the conversation went on, somebody might have fallen asleep. And it wasn't the person in Canada. It was me. And I woke up a while later wondering, I was on the phone, what happened? And hours had passed by. And so that's what happened late at night. We know what tiredness is. That's that concept. And we know, all of us, we can't just keep communicating. We just can't keep interacting. It has to. There has to be a break. But with our Savior, He continues. For you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all His fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.